This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, it's Back Row and Chill. It's Friday, it's 4 p.m. And I'm joined today by a lovely co-host. We've got Aline van der Velden in the building.
Did I say that right? Yes.
Yeah, you did. Yes.
Oh, do I have a little applause? No, I don't. I don't have an applause thing. Oh, I have a fanfare though. That could work with you. Aline van der Velden.
I'm really embarrassed now. Anywho,
Johanna James,
you're going to be joining me today for the entire show. So thank you so much for joining me. We've got a jam-packed show. We've got some really great guests coming up, guys. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about the new BBC show, McMafia, which I had to admit, it had not been on my radar until it came on the show.
But it was like everywhere.
I know. I obviously wasn't.
You weren't like, everywhere.
I wasn't alive at it because it was on the New Year, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was on the 1st of Jan.
Clearly, yeah. I had my head down a toilet or something. I wasn't quite focusing on what the BBC were doing. And so we've got lots of guests. We've got loads of entertainment news and film reviews because there's so much stuff out right now. There's stuff piling into the cinemas because we're heading up to the Oscars. And with like Netflix has just like released a ton of shit to help relieve what is the January blues.
Yeah, do you think they do that because it's winter and it's horrible?
Yeah, and everyone's indoors and everyone's just like, oh fuck, I'm not going outside.
What about the Australians though? They're screwed, aren't they?
Well, it's too hot for them to go outside.
So they're all
I'm imagining.
Well.
I've never been to Australia, but I can imagine it'd be like pretty sweaty right now. So, I mean, God, I wouldn't mind though. It's freezing in London. If you're listening from anywhere hot in the world, you lucky bugger, because it's quite chilly. It's quite nippy in London today, which I don't like it when it's really, really cold and you have to use the underground because the underground's boiling hot.
And you sweat.
Yeah, so I end up just doing this like weird like little strip thing every time you go down the tube and you strip off and then everyone's just down there in their underpants. Basically.
It's not very attractive, is it? And then you arrive at your next place like really sweaty.
It is not. Right, we're going to crack off the start of the show with a song. This is 25 Miles by Edwin Starr, which has appeared in a lot of movies, but in one of my favourite movies ever, Adventures in Babysitting. And this is one of the best. If you're ever like late to a meeting or you got to drive home or you got to be somewhere and like get your engine started, this is the song. This is the song. So we're going to crack off the show with a bit of Edwin Starr.
Come on, feet. Start moving. Got to get me there. Yeah.
Grow and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It is Back Row and Chill, and it's time for a bit of entertainment news, because that's how we roll with this show.
Yeah.
Yaha. So let's just like dive right in there. Like, what's going on in the world of entertainment and business, and what's going on? Well, the first thing that has popped up this week that took my interest was that they are already making a movie for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's, like, they haven't even got married yet.
I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch all of that.
Yeah,
all of that
stuff. Are you a big royal fan?
Oh, I just love Meghan Markle.
I mean, she is hot, isn't she?
She's just really hot.
She's so beautiful.
I think she is like the new branding of the royal family. I think she will take it to new heights.
Yeah, I think she's
hot.
She's breaking a lot of protocol, royal protocol. Although I read this article, which made me actually never want to be a princess. So if any,
I mean, it must be awful.
I mean, yeah, honestly, this article, it laid down all of the rules that she's going to have to adhere to now.
Which, like what?
Like, she's not allowed to wear skinny ripped jeans.
But she already did.
Yeah, well, she did, but not anymore. Like, as soon as she gets married, no. When she's a member of the royal family, she can't be seen wearing ripped jeans. Because there was a picture of her at, like, a basketball game with Prince Harry. And she had, like, a little jean with a knee rip, a la Topshop or whatever. And no.
I don't think she'll care. I think she'll do it.
She's going to be a rebel.
Because surely she would have had that sort of training and checks through before she did that game.
Oh, yeah.
So she was
Anarchy in the UK.
Yes. The Americans.
The Americans in town now, bitch. And she's going to live. She's going to live, like, next to, what's she called?
Kate
and Will.
I know.
They're going to live together in this weird, like, little, like, palace duo cottage.
It's really weird. Imagine you and your brother working with both your wives in the same company.
It's a little bit of a weird double date scenario. But I love them. I mean, I saw that interview when they were, you know, announcing it all, and I was like,
they
fancy the pants off each other. This is cute. Mm. I'm down for this.
She's perfect for him, isn't she?
She is. And, you know, Prince Harry, the last prince.
Oh, he's hot too.
He's like a bit of Harry. I mean, out of the two of them, I'd go for Harry. I mean, I don't know if you're listening at home, whether you go for William or Harry, but
Harry. William's got his new shaved head. Seen this?
No, I've not seen the new shade bald. But I mean, it's about bloody time, William.
Yeah,
come on.
But it's a bit sad.
Just cut off the island. When you start to get an island in the middle, it's time. It's time. Just commit to the shave. I like a bald head.
But I think Harry will go bald too.
Bald head and a beard. Love that. Just saying. To any baldies out there with a beard.
It is kind of hot.
It is. It is very hot. So, you know, all is not lost as long as you can grow hair on your face.
Okay. Big beard.
Then I don't mind. But yeah, so that's interesting. It's going to be made by, I think, Timeline, that like cheesy production company. Lifetime.
She used to do all these like Hallmark sort of films.
Movies
and stuff. Yeah, my sisters watch all of them. They're really bad.
Talking about that, this week I actually had an audition for like a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, please do it.
If I get it, 100% I'm going to do it.
Yes.
It's called The Christmas Ice Princess. You can imagine how amazing.
Would you be the ice princess?
I would be one of two, yeah.
Oh, amazing. You do look a bit like an ice princess.
I hope so. I kind of like lied a little bit in my audition and said that I could do all kinds of like ice skating moves. So I'm going to have to like shimmy on down to Streatham Ice Rink if I do get it and like quickly catch up. But, you know, it's going to be Lifetime US Cable Network. It's called Harry and Meghan, The Royal Love Story. Oh, loosely based on real life stories. So they're just going to go to town with like the whole ham scenario. Like, I was in this rough marriage and I got divorced. And that's going to be, I mean, I'll probably watch it for the bants.
I think it's quite impressive because she must have been like 33, divorced, single. And then suddenly she's like bagged a prince.
Oh, no. So it can happen, ladies. If you're 33, single and divorced,
anything could happen.
Anything. You could be a princess next year.
I do use this scenario a lot with my like depressed girlfriends.
Yeah. But let's look at Meghan Markle. Yeah. She did it. Home run. Totally. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited but also horrified for that movie to come out. Now, one thing that has also come out in the news this week, is sort of resurfaced from the 90s, is I had no idea that Tom Hardy used to be a rapper.
What?
Like, who knew?
Was
is so Tom Hardy, you know, the serious acclaimed actor, who actually I recently forgot that I loved him, and then I found like a new appreciation for Tom Hardy. Like, he is hot. Have you ever seen him man cry?
No, what's a man cry?
Oh my gosh, like just a man that can cry, I guess. Oh. Is a man cry. But like, it is beautiful to watch a man who can express a tear. It, like,
he is just beautiful, isn't he?
And I first saw Tom Hardy, I think I fell in love. The moment I fell in love with Tom Hardy, he was in this ITV production of Wuthering Heights.
Okay.
And oh my, and it's actually the lady who he starred opposite is now his real wife.
Wow.
So they fell in love on the set, and you could totally see in the movie that it was,
they had
real.
The chemistry.
Yeah, I was like, that ain't acting.
I think they see that in auditions, and then they cast them, and then they end up together. So it's
and they ruin
like,
marriages. That's what happens. But yeah.
totally.
But anyway, I fell in love with Tom Hardy in Wuthering Heights, and I can't find it anywhere. So anyone can like send me a link for where I can download like the ITV Wuthering Heights. Probably like circa 2006, I'm going to say, maybe 7. But he cries a lot in that, and that was beautiful, and I fell in love with him. And but he has, he made it like a rap album in the 90s, which has finally resurfaced, and it's called Falling On Your Ass, is the EP from that.
Was it a joke?
No, deadly serious. His rapper name was Tommy Number One. Which, I mean, it's sounding awkward. And
I want to hear this.
I've got a little bit of a little clip to play for you guys. So this is Tom Hardy. This song's called We Make the Beats. Okay. It's not bad. It's very 90s, isn't it? Well, it is. It made
a noise. It's a bit Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, it's like a chilled version of Fresh Prince. And you can find it online, guys. So just like just Google Tom Hardy Falling On Your Ass, and you should be able to find his album.
So he actually called it Falling On Your Ass?
Apparently so.
The whole album.
And he's rumoured to have a slight Jamaican accent. So that's what I read online. So maybe go see that for yourself, guys. But also, people are saying his accent's quite close to Bane from Batman. So they were saying this is Bane's origins. He was Tommy Number One.
Amazing.
In the 90s. Who knew? Now, talking to Hollywood, which we weren't, but I'm trying to like add that in. So talking to Hollywood, there could be a new Hollywood sign. There's been this massive petition by anyone who lives near the Hollywood sign to say like, look, the tourism is just crazy. And we can't like drive around anywhere because everyone's just driving around trying to get the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
And so they're petitioning to make a second one to like shove the tourists over there and be like, look, let's go and see that one.
No one's going to go to that.
Nobody would go to that
but
one.
But I used to live right underneath the sign.
Oh, casually just drop that in there.
But nobody cared.
I used to just like live below this Hollywood sign.
It really was not very glamorous. It's where you live if you're really not very glamorous.
Oh, really?
All the glamorous people live like in the hills.
Oh.
That's why it was called the hills.
The hill. I get it now. Okay.
Yes. So all the crappy, shitty people like me
lived in the bottom of the hills.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, I can get it now. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. So they're trying to move the sign, but I don't think if you move shit that it's going to really make a difference. And this, I mean, I tried to find the Hollywood sign, and it was really hard to get anywhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my friend, we got completely lost. We ended up going up, and we found the observatory, which was beautiful. And it's the amazing scene from La La Land was there.
Yeah.
And that was like the best thing I've ever, one of the best things I've ever seen with my actual eyeballs ever. I tried to take a picture. She looks shit. Like you can only take a picture with your eyeballs.
Yeah. Because you can see the sea and the mountains.
It just goes on for miles and miles and miles and miles. And especially when you come from a place like England, which is like the hilliest, bumpiest, lumpiest grey land ever. And then you go there and it's just like this fantastic. And I went there at like sundown.
Oh,
and it
yes.
was like super romantic. But I was with a guy that was not my boyfriend. So I was like, oh, this is... Can you just propose to me right now, please? Because, I mean, I don't want to marry you, but this is just perfect. This was the moment if anyone was going to propose.
But that's better than the actual sign. The observatory.
Yeah, so
it's
the
way more beautiful.
I'm happy that I found the observatory, not the Hollywood sign, because the Hollywood sign is just shit.
Yeah.
Do you remember early, it was a whole year ago, that some protesters changed it to Hollyweed sign? They broke the O's and made it the Hollyweed.
Because they didn't like that California was legalizing weed?
Or maybe they liked the fact.
Oh, yeah,
they were like, yeah, Hollyweed!
I mean, it's almost like Amsterdam there.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know.
You just need your medical card and anyone can get weed.
It's just free weed. Not free weed, well, but legal weed.
There we go.
Imagine a place with free weed. Wow. Yeah, but I mean, this is not... I mean, they moved the globe. Some people don't realise that. but they moved the Globe Theatre is not where the original Globe Theatre was.
Oh, and that worked out well.
They moved it.
Oh, so maybe it is a good idea.
So everyone's like, this Globe Theatre's been here since like 19... Nah, it was over. They rebuilt this in the 90s. This isn't the real Globe Theatre. It just looks old.
But you just burst my bubble.
Sorry to all you besties. But, you know, it's not the right place for the Globe Theatre. So, yeah. Now, one thing that I'm going to be talking about probably a lot this show is because it's like my new favourite movie at the moment is called The Greatest Showman with Zac Efron and Hugh Jackman. I mean, before the show, I was like babbling on about it. People, it is amazing. Even if you're not like a super musical person, I think you can get into this. So I'm going to play you a couple of songs today from The Greatest Showman because it has also been trending globally on Spotify. That's how good some of the songs are. So let's just crack off with... I keep saying crack off. That's not even English, Johanna. Like, come on. It's crack on, isn't it? So this is The Greatest Showman by Hugh Jackman from the movie The Greatest Showman. This is Back Row and Chill.
This is the moment you've waited for. You've been searching in the dark, your sweat soaking through the floor. And buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care what I'm gather. Your fever dream, can't you see you getting closer? Just surrender, cause you feel the feeling taking over. It's fire, it's freedom, it's flying open. It's a picture in the pulpit and your blood devotion. There's something breaking at the brick of every wall. It's holding on, let you know. So tell me, do you want?
Light it up, we won't come down. And the sun can't stop us now.
Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to Back Row and Chill. It's Johanna James, and it is... I've just said Back Row and Chill. Damn it! I was so close to getting that right. Always got to fudge up one part of the show. Anywho, we've got our first guest in the studio, so a huge welcome to Clifford Samuel,
Hello.
Actor and thespian.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we were just having a little chit-chat in that song about... Well, Clifford just... He just dropped the bomb that he has just worked at the Globe.
Casual.
The very Globe that is the fake Globe.
Yeah, the fake. Yes, it is the fake Globe. Yeah, yeah, on the waterfront.
The waterfront fake Globe. What were you doing at the Globe?
I was doing a play called Boudicca. It's a new writing, but it's based on the female warrior princess, played by the lovely Gina McKee. It was a blast.
Boudicca. Or Boudicca.
Boudicca, yeah.
As a lot of people like, oh, is it Boudicca? Boudicca?
Yeah. I don't know. I was told not to say it in my audition, not to say Boudicca, because that's the Latin. And you have to do the British version, which is Boudicca.
I've been speaking Latin.
Yeah, of course, yeah, Boudicca.
That was the first thing I ever learned about in history at school, ever.
Oh, really?
I remembered sitting down in history when I first went to school, and they taught me about this like amazing woman... fucking warrior lady,
yeah.
And I was just like, yes,
yes,
love history.
It's great. There's a statue of her outside Westminster.
There is.
I feel like I'm totally chariot. Missing out on knowledge.
Oh my gosh, she was like this, like kind of pre-Viking Dark Age queen, and she like led armies into battle and stuff. She was like with ginger hair, and well, I'm assuming
this is what happens when you only do GCSE geography and you miss out.
Yeah, the history. It's all about the history. But it got a bit dark at the end because basically, like, the Romans capture her and like rape her daughters.
Oh,
and stuff.
Great, casual, yeah.
So
that was the beginning.
That was the beginning of the
and
play.
Then, yeah, and then the revenge starts.
Oh,
because Rome's occupying Britain, and then she fought back.
Who did you play?
The head of the Roman army.
Wow. You're a little bit humble, actually. Because you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm in at the Globe. What, the Globe? I played the head of the Roman army.
How long was the play?
The actual running time.
Oh, God, 17 hours.
Yeah, and 52 seconds, minutes. No, it was 2 hours. Oh, it's quite long. It's 2 hours 35.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And people stand at the Globe, right?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
That is leg day.
Yeah, that was... that's your leg. Just swap it. Don't go to the gym. But yeah, that was... I think that's 500 people. Or about 500, 700 standing.
Incredible.
In the yard, as they say.
Is there a break where you're allowed to sit down?
Yes, yes, yes. There's definitely... We had an interval in it. Yeah, it was like an hour, 10 minutes in.
And see, then, I feel like you just be like, right, everyone together, we're all going to sit down.
Yeah,
and we can do this together. If one person stands up, you fuck it for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we all sit down, we can all see, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll petition to sit down at the Globe.
The ushers are quite strict. You're not actually allowed to lean.
Oh yeah, because people start
hardcore.
People start getting experimental with like what they can.
But like, yeah, just lean. It's a bit, you know, just.
Well, I'm not going to be going to the Globe.
Yeah, yeah, no, just work out a seat.
Maybe they should do like snippet Shakespeare. So you do kind of like speed run versions.
Yeah.
So you could just get through it, like cut the waffle. But you know what I mean. Like just get down to the proper drama bits.
Just cut the shit, cut the deadwood. Let's do it. But like it was. But you can just do, or alternatively, you could just do a revolt. And just say, look, all of us in the yard, let's just sit down.
Yeah,
yeah.
Protest. Peaceful protest.
Yeah, not moving.
For, you know, Shakespeare would probably agree.
I suppose as an actor, you're standing for 3 hours as well.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, but yeah, if you're
playing... At least you get a move.
If you've got quite a big part to play, yeah, you're just standing. You can't really relax because you're just completely... You have to be stay on it all the time.
Now, Clifford, well, I want to mention McMafia, which is the BBC... TV show that you are part of at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's on its first series, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's a new adventure.
And it all kicks off in the new year, which apparently I missed because I was obviously not... I don't even know where it was.
Yeah,
but
where
I
were
saw
you?
It everywhere.
New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was New Year's
Day.
And
9
I'm asleep. That just wasn't the one for me because I was, I don't know, I was still thinking it was 2017 and I don't know.
Yeah, well, not even pizza takeaway, no.
I just can't even remember. Like, that's just like a blackout that day. What did I do? I was asleep. But I'm so sorry, I missed it. But don't worry, you can catch up on BBC iPlayer. That's the magic of the internet and like this like calm world that we live in.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with that? You play Femi, who is the... boyfriend of... So, anyone who doesn't know what McMafia is about, it's about a Russian mafia
powerhouse family.
Yes.
And you were the new boyfriend of the daughter.
Well, boyfriend, but I don't know how new. They're long-term, or some people say partner, because we've been together for a long time.
How long before you actually become a partner?
Good question.
I know.
Because I mean, I've been going out with someone for 2 months now. Is it appropriate that I call him my partner?
That's your boyfriend. Okay. Or girlfriend. I'm just saying, it depends.
Once you're
boyfriend.
Living together, maybe?
That's what I was going to say. Well, who says you can't? But I use that as my partner now.
Maybe when I introduce him next time, I'll just say, hi, this is my life partner. And see how much he dies.
People always get confused with like business partner as well, don't they? And then they're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or you're like, oh, this is my dating buddy.
Do you know what I mean? There's so many words and all the grey areas in between.
Yeah.
But okay, so you are the partner / long-term boyfriend of
Katya.
Katya. The Russian
Katya Godman, which
she's
is the
a bit
family.
Crazy, huh?
Yes, as you start to discover, there's little clues have been dropped every episode of what's happening between us, and then you discover.
Because you're really likable in the hospital, because you're there and you're trying to call her. And
yes.
Am I allowed to say that bit?
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's quite hard to talk about because I can't. There's so many spoilers and I have to be careful where we're at. But this is good.
But this is okay.
Yes.
And she's nowhere. But you're like cool. You can maybe see the inside, but like, I mean, if your girlfriend was out partying all night, couldn't reach her, alarm bells going off.
But I can't, again, there's a spoiler which I can't go into. But he's one of the few nice characters. In the series, it's like I think you meet about 160 characters throughout the series, and he's kind of one of the handful of
nice
people.
Ones.
Good on you.
Yeah.
And how did that come about? Was it just like an audition? Did you know someone?
Yeah, no, it was an audition. It was an audition for. It was very secretive. There was no script to hand, and it was
one of those.
Just get
a
the
blindfolded
sides.
Audition. Yep. Like, what is that? Okay.
Yeah, this is kind of roughly the world. This is what we are doing, and your character is called Femi, and a little description about him, and take it away.
Okay.
I had scenes or sides, as they say. To just learn about 4 pages of them and just kind of you contribute what you think the character's about. But there was not a lot of reference to go by because there was no script.
Okay.
There was a script, but it was too secretive.
Too locked down.
And it makes sense now.
What was it like? Because you were just thrown in there with like James Norton, who plays the lead. And he's
a hottie.
He's a hottie, but he's also going to be potentially the new James Bond. The mystery shall remain.
No, the lovely James is fantastic. He's really good. He's been attached to it from the beginning, and which was nice. So then they at least had a face to then cast around.
Yeah.
The family, especially, was one of the earliest ones they wanted to do.
Okay.
And Faye, I think, was cast pretty early. I was cast pretty early, so we set up the family and then they sprawled out with the rest was kind of filming and casting as they went along for like the day players, as they say.
And there was a lot of buzz about McMafia, especially online, and as well, especially for your storyline, because it is a Russian mafia powerhouse, and you are the boyfriend of the daughter, but there is tension between the parents and you because you're black, she's Russian, and they've got quite like institutional racism in there, and you know, you're a 21st century couple, so
which is great.
Was it exciting to play that kind of?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest draws, and then when I did got the part and then got the script, I was like, wow, this is very subtle in terms of how Hussein Amini, the amazing writer and the showrunner, he's the guy who wrote Drive, if you remember the film Drive.
Yeah.
So this is kind of his first TV, because the whole idea, I mean, it's not the whole series is like an 8-hour film when you do.
It's real just, filmic.
Yeah, it keeps going. Yeah, it's shot like film and it's, yeah, beautiful. And so Hussein, we were talking about the character and why, and it was so nice to have, it was called Femi. It's not just another character where you've just slotted in, oh, we just need a black guy to put in there.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's a completely a political nod to what's happening now, to have that generation with, like you've just described, yeah, which, sure, you know, Russia's known, especially Russia, they're known to be, let's call it hostile, mm-hmm, with their views on the, yeah, we say any race, but yeah, so to have that with no, not heavily commented on, but yet visually you see it,
for
and
sure,
you can't help but see, I mean, they're all Aryan.
Yeah, it's literally, well, like white men for an hour.
What, the Russian?
Just all white men, the whole, yeah, series. Yeah. Mm. And then there's you.
Mm. Absolutely, which is why I was daunted, but there's, you know, all the plus side to it is, wow, you do stick out, but you really stick out as the actor and then the character and, the series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very positive. You
know. I think it's super relevant, and I think that... more and more, just to link back in with like The Greatest Showman, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but one of the main, I know, smooth, like slide into your DMs with that, yeah. But the main storyline for Zac Efron in that is like an interracial love story in the 1850s or whatever it was,
oh, yes,
and it was about how, like, and yeah, I'm just like, I'm all about that right now.
Yeah.
Having recently entered into an interracial relationship, I'm sort of like navigating through this personally.
Yeah, of
course. And I've kind of switched on to it now. And I really like that the BBC were pushing in their like prime time TV,
yes,
putting those storylines forward, yes, and addressing them, because there is an element where I think that I personally felt like, oh, it's like 21st century now, everyone can date everyone, and it's free love, and you can be gay, you can be whatever,
yeah,
but actually, yeah, there is so many people who are older or from other cultures or from other countries, and it's still like super
new.
Yeah, oh, just look at the Meghan and Harry thing. It's still an issue for some reason.
Yeah, like
reason.
Why should it even be?
Of course, of course.
Why,
yeah,
should it even be? Yeah,
insane.
Someone did that recently. Someone goes through. I think there's a Twitter account, and they go through and they edit out the unnecessary bits in media titles that they don't need. So like Maya Jama recently, wow, became a Radio 1 presenter, and they edited out the part where it says Maya Jama, Stormzy's girlfriend, gets. And I was like, you don't need to mention Stormzy. She's in herself a powerhouse of her own right.
Exactly.
She's working for that for years. She was presenting before Stormzy was even
Stormzy
on the scene.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, just give the girl, like, let the queen wear her crown. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Mm. There's always attachment. I don't know. It's always a way of trying to make it easier to understand. Oh, it's because, you know, it's Prince Harry. Oh, it's because, no. She's already beautiful. He, yeah, found her. It's not a favor.
Just watch the movie, guys. You'll understand,
yeah,
it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's great.
I mean, she's achieved so many things.
Yeah.
Maybe even on par with Prince Harry, or more.
Absolutely.
Than Prince,
I would
Harry.
Say
and then
so.
Having to sacrifice all that, you know, to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
acting and
you
all
know,
of that.
No offense to, like, Prince Harry, but he was born into that privilege where she, like, earned that privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she became,
yeah,
a public figure out of her own talent.
In one of the, yeah, hardest industries.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yes, she kind of, like, worked up to that level. He, you know, was kind of just given that. Like, he didn't choose to be famous.
Yeah.
He is that.
Yeah.
He just is famous. Imagine being born famous. Just, like, wow.
Just, yeah, absolutely.
Pressure.
But, yeah, you know? It's really, it's interesting to have that into the, you know, like, just going back to the series to see it, because the discussion we had, we, meaning Hussein, writer, and the director, James Watkins, Faye, who plays Katia,
mm-hmm,
brilliantly played, and gorgeous actress, and we discussed how would you have met, because we definitely, because, you know, Femi does come from money to be able to be in that circle anyway, so what we've got is then we're both outsiders, is what we worked out. One from race, and the other one is she didn't know English, and yet here we are at public school, and she is learning English, and, you know, this Russian girl, so there was a lot, aww, of bullying at the time. So what happened in terms of trying to create a backstory for that was you both kind of, maybe subconscious or consciously, found each other.
There's a loser love story.
Well, yeah.
But you do find that in relationships, right? There's always a common ground
that's
that
exactly
you connect
it
through.
Yeah,
yeah. Ours is nerds. We connected over like nerdy stuff.
Was it collector? Do you collect things, or what's the?
I
nerdy?
Don't collect things, but like just
facts.
Super into like films, Comic Con. Like, oh, you want to dress up and go to Comic? Well, so do I. Like, let's dress up, wow, together as superheroes. And if that's not a little niche couple thing, I don't know what is. So, did you learn any Russian? Because
Yes.
Could you
and
teach
also,
us?
More understanding Russian.
Oh, but, so you can totally like eavesdrop a little bit of Russian. No. You've like, he said, teacup on the train.
On the train, and I'm a spy. No. It was pretty hard.
Russian's
one of the hardest
fucking
languages
hard.
Yeah. Ever.
You know, if you don't learn that when you're a baby, you're kind of always going to be a bit lost.
Yeah, but you can get by even on set because, you know, authentic actors, you know, real Russian actors were playing our parents. The amazing Alexei Serebrakov, who plays dad, and Maria Shishkina, who's mum, you know, she's like the Meryl Streep of Russia.
Yeah.
And they've got all these actors here. But, you know, I know we've got a Russian speaking advisor on set, especially for James, because I think he learnt all his lines.
Oh, because he's
English.
Got to speak all Russian.
Yeah, but he learnt it in English. Also learnt dad's lines in English, so he knew where the kind of. In terms of reaction, where he stopped. Has he stopped talking in Russian? Okay, right, my line. So it was negotiating that and understanding some Russian for him to then speak back.
I would be terrified to act in Russian. Can you imagine? Be like, you've got a role on the BBC, speak Russian.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Just to get by, you just say yes, or just duh, duh.
Da. Amazing. So if you're just joining in now, we're talking about McMafia, the BBC series, which you can catch up on iPlayer. We're talking to Clifford Samuel in the house, who plays Femi.
Nice.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm afraid we're out
pleasure.
Of time. We're gonna go on to another song from The Greatest Showman. This is called This Is Me, which is currently trending on Spotify Global at like number 3 or something.
You play the album.
I'm pretty much playing the album today. But this, listen to this song. It's so inspirational. If you don't cry a tear of like,
I think we've met the number one fan.
Strength and compassion, honestly.
Great.
Put me in if there's a Greatest Showman too. Please! Please, I'm here, producers. This is called This Is Me. It's Back Row and Jill.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, gonna send a flood, gonna drown a mind. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come. Another round of bullets hits my
gonna drown them out. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
Presents. We have William Hansen on the line. He is an etiquette expert. I have my tremendously good friend, Will Hardy. I use an app called Chappie.
So his lead photo is him smiling to the right with a hoodie on.
I think the hoodie might be putting people off.
Oh, do you? Will is holding up a picture of me right now, and I am in a shirt.
Salmon Grandad collar shirt.
Right. Grandad collar. Are they still a thing?
I suppose they're not, are they?
No.
I feel we've learned a lot here. So, William...
Well, I feel we've scratched the surface.
Every Wednesday... from 6pm, FUBAR Radio.
You are listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Back Row and Chill. We're having a lovely time this Friday afternoon. Forgot what day it was.
I'm back rowing and chilling.
You're back rowing and chilling. Yeah. Did you know, a little factoid, that when we first started this show, when we were like throwing around names, like what it should be called, one of the names that popped up was Fingered in the Back Row. And I was like, maybe a little bit on the... I don't really think... Imagine. People are like, what do you do? Oh, I host a show called Fingered in the Back Row. No, Back Row and Chill will do just nicely.
Yeah, I think that's better.
I did have to explain to my mum what that meant. She was like, oh, what's a lovely name. And I was like, you know that chill means sex, mum, yeah? She's like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Back Row, like Netflix and Chill. When you ask someone to Netflix and Chill.
Oh.
You actually... Back Row and Chill.
Yeah, I didn't know it was... less innocent than it is for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
You haven't just told me then, but
I thought people just chilled.
No, bless you. All these men, you won't be inviting all these guys over, like, come on, come and chill at my house.
I have said that to, like, guy friends.
And they're like, yes, I'm in there. And they're like, she's just giving mixed messages, what's going on? So if anyone doesn't know, and chill means, you know, and something else. So be prepared.
Okay.
Be prepared, people. Save sex. Right, okay. We have our second guest in the studio, so a huge welcome. It's got Joe Selman Lever.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yes!
Thanks.
People can't get my name right. People call me all kinds of things, so I quite like to try
What's your name?
Johanna James, but people read it and they just get... There's just so many A's and J's and stuff, and they're just like...
James is not too difficult.
Johanna?
Yeah, I like Johanna.
Johanna. I get called Johanna in auditions a lot. Come here, Johanna. Like, I'll take that, whatever. Call me whatever. Just give me the role. And right, so we're going to have a quick chit-chat about Monster, which is the dark but humorous exploration of gender and masculinity. That's from the PR. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I like the little hand gestures that went with that.
Oh, yeah, you can't see on the radio, but I'm like expressing with my...
It's very interpretive.
I'm very physical. And how did Monster come about?
Okay, so I wanted to look at certain male attitudes towards masculinity and towards women that have been around recently, kind of more in the news with Donald Trump, and it was made before all of the kind of Weinstein stuff came out.
Okay, yeah.
So that's started the show years ago, but I'd wanted to rework it and kind of finish it. It was only ever a short piece, and I wanted to finish it at some point. And I think with the kind of the Trump candidacy, which then turned into the Trump presidency, and kind of all that brought with that in terms of what was suddenly acceptable again in terms of the kinds of language and behaviour.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everyone's joking. Everyone, like, even like my friends now, they'll joke, be like, oh yeah, grab her by the pussy. And I'm like, yeah, it's not actually that funny.
Yeah.
Like, some people genuinely see that as like a green light to kind of go back 50 years. It's like...
And you can't say, oh, I'm just saying that ironically. And, you know.
Banter.
That's not really a get out, I don't think.
It's not really banter, is it? Well, good on you. And actually, just while we're on that topic, because actually I read today that somebody out there online has re-edited Star Wars, The Last Jedi, to cut out all the women.
What?
It says, and I quote, he said, basically, it's The Last Jedi minus the girl power and other silly stuff. and it's called The Last Jedi, the defeminized fan edit. And it's 46 minutes long. And yeah, he just thought, and the people were like, why? And he goes, I'm a men's rights activist.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. But you've taken out like some of the best, most badass bits of the movie. Like, it doesn't matter who did them.
As a Jedi activist, I want to put Rey back in and Leia back in.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, there's some weird fan reactions to Last Jedi generally, but that's got to be the weirdest one.
I mean, that's extreme, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can tweet us at Foobar Radio what you think about this, because I was like pretty annoyed.
Yeah, men's rights also doesn't mean less women.
Yeah, just, you know, it's not like one or the other. Like female rights is not saying that we want to be more than, it's like equal to. So if he's men's rights, it means he should have edited it so that it was equally men and women in the film.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. That's a very, very strange thing to do with
your time.
Know.
He was obviously like not breastfed or something, wasn't he? So.
That's probably why, yeah.
I think someone needs to go and talk to someone, mate, you know? Maybe I'll tweet him. And
it's like the guy who
talk to Frank.
Told girls to stop having periods, just go to the loo and stop, you know, why, you know, he didn't understand.
Oh.
Also, a guy on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Guys, girls don't have periods, mate. You wouldn't be around, so, you know? Like, this guy, he wants to cut out women from stuff. I was like, but then if he, like, removed women from, like, the story of history, he's removing himself because he came from a vagina and a womb. So, you know, not that many conversations going on upstairs.
Also, men quite like women, I thought.
I thought, yeah, we're all right.
I think so, yeah.
We're okay. I don't know. But cool. So that's how the monster was born, from obviously all this like Trump and...
Yeah, not just that, but I think I felt like that was the urgency with which to... You know, it wasn't... I mean... Trump's like a symptom of a deeper problem, isn't he? You know, so I think it was the fact that was like a, you know, that was the sort of the spearhead of the undercurrent that made me think, I think now's the time to do this, to kind of remake this show, because there was something that I was already interested in those issues. I mean, the show is as much about aggression and that aspect of masculinity as it is abuse of power. But yeah, I just felt like, with that being around, it was the right time to do it.
And it was debuted in Edinburgh?
It was, yeah.
Okay, and what's the plan for it now? If people are like, oh, I want to like see Monster, or where can they go? And
well, they can come next week in London.
There we go, there it is.
There's the plug. The Vault Festival, which opens next week.
Oh, I love the Vault Festival. The Vault, yeah. I mean, I filmed in the Vaults, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I filmed for this like promo thing for this movie, Jigsaw, and they actually bought the little animatronic doll from Jigsaw. So I spent about an hour filming with that thing in the vaults, which is literally just it is just the old vaults underneath Waterloo Bridge, but they fill it with this amazing festival, which is fantastic. So it's going to be down there.
It's going to be there next week. Yeah, from the 24th to the 28th. Yeah, I can imagine you would have been pretty scared. I'd have been terrified
It is cold. Bring a jacket, everyone, if you are going to go. You know, bring something warm.
Yeah. Well, it gets warm, you know, when there's enough people in there. But like, hip flask is a good
idea. Hip flask.
Although,
and a woolly,
coat. Don't let them see you.
Hide the hip flask.
They want to hide. They want to sell their own cans of beer.
Okay, yeah.
bring a hip flask. For £5.
You know, brown paper bag that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that'll cut it.
Maybe camel bag. Put it inside a book.
A book?
I mean, I have all sorts of techniques from festivals.
Okay.
But no, I will just go and buy the beer.
Or just pay for, you know, the price, the theatre beer. That would be good as well. Sorry, Vault Festival. Do you struggle or is it easy to do a one-man show? Because the idea of being a one-man show or one-woman show, whatever, for me is like, it's just fucking terrifying.
Oh, really?
I get scared for live. And put a camera in front of me, cool, I can do my thing. But the idea of live theatre, because I haven't done it, I'm so rusty. It terrifies me. So, like, you know, high five to you, bro, for doing that. But does it? Obviously, clearly, doesn't scare you. You're looking at me it's cool.
No. I do find it nerve wracking. I think the scariest thing is the silences. You know, if you because obviously, if you're sharing a stage with someone, then usually the silence is, you know, there's some kind of body language going on between you and another actor.
Yeah.
Or you're waiting, you know, not waiting, but you know, there's something else going on. But
It takes balls to like fill that silence.
Yeah, right? If you know, so sort of trusting the silences, and kind of, and especially when, you know, in a lot of small theatres, you can see the whites of people's eyes, and you know, you can read
Hi,
all,
Mom!
Read all, yeah, you can read all sorts of things into people's expressions, you know, so yeah. someone's resting face, you might fill in the blanks and go, oh, that's their bored face, or their I'm hating the show face, and you know, so you've got to kind of switch that noise in your brain off and just trust that the show is what you've worked on. And
someone has told me that you can with one people show, we'll call it one people show,
one people show
that you can kind of, like, if you do mess up, it's kind of easier because you are completely driving that train, so you can kind of take it back, reverse, do whatever you want, and like nobody knows.
Kind of yeah, that's true, although with this one there's a lot of lighting cues in there, and they're often quite okay. timed to the lines, you know, and to specific words, although, you know, I kind of, whoever's operating will kind of know to just like correct my mistake if I make one. There's a bit more incentive to like get it right, because you're not just, you're throwing yourself off, you're throwing off
Amazing.
Someone else.
Yeah. And oh my goodness, we're coming into land, but we wanted to quickly mention, because Little Birdie told me that you were quite into conspiracy theories.
Oh, right. Okay.
Is that true? Do you like do you dabble on a bit of conspiracy theorism?
I'm not into them as such. I'm interested in why people are interested in them.
Okay.
So I'm reading a really good book at the moment called Post Truth, which is all about it's by Matthew Dunconnor, who's a journalist, and it's about Brexit and Trump and climate change denial, and those that kind of like unholy trinity, and why you know, flat earthers as well included.
On the bus in Peckham the other day, in a Sharpie pen, someone wrote across the front, the earth is flat, like, and I was like we are not on a round or whatever, and it was like in a Sharpie. I was like, okay.
I love these people.
I want
to meet them.
So that's the thing.
I
kind of do and I kind of don't, because like, you know, when you do meet them, like I spoke to someone the other day who was a conspiracy theorist, and it's very frustrating very quickly, because nothing will change their mind.
There's no logic, but I can
show them Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, because it shows you the end of the world and it just goes upside down and back around again, so
brilliant. And that's science,
you know. Done with Jack Sparrow,
you know. Someone who thinks that the sole purpose of NASA was to be created to hide the truth from people, you know, that a kind of multi-billion dollar organization was set up solely for the purpose of convincing people that the earth was round. I mean, just that as logic is kind of baffling to me.
You only have to take a flight and you can see it's round.
Well, this is the thing, but there's a video kind of going around, you know, at the minute of a flat earther who uses that an example.
Oh yeah, and he goes out the window and says, look, it's flat, it looks round, it looks round. I've heard of that, but I'm still not convinced, mate.
Exactly.
It's called Photoshop. So there's all kinds of filters you can put on stuff nowadays. They can filter that flat and
I've also heard that people now think that Bitcoin was brought to us by the aliens.
Okay.
It was,
because nobody knows who created it.
Is that true? I didn't know that we didn't know who created it.
Well,
right?
before we dive headfirst into Bitcoin, because that is for another show. We could do a whole show on like the fucking tyranny of Bitcoin,
crypto,
and all that kind of money thing. I don't get it. I just think it's like monopoly money, but it's really not. There's like, well, okay, another show, guys. Another show. Thank you so much for coming in, Joe. Monster going to be the Vault Festival as of next week.
Yes, that's right.
So go check it out if you want to have a nice little indoor.
Yeah, please come.
Indoor underground theatre sesh. Right, I'm going to play a song not from The Greatest Showman now. This is from Black Mirror.
Ooh.
Shout out, Black Mirror. I love it. This is Hang the DJ is one of my favourite episodes from the new series of Black Mirror. So I thought I'd play The Smiths in honour of that. There we go. Thanks, Joe, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Panic on the streets of London. Panic on the streets of Birmingham. I wonder to myself. So you run down to the safety of the town.
Peter, a little expert there from Black Mirror. Have you seen any of the new Black Mirror?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
I love Black Mirror, though, but I haven't seen the new ones.
Oh, my gosh, you should. Okay, so my two faves, if you're only going to, like, dive in. And the best thing about Black Mirror is that it's an anthology, so you can dive in
anywhere,
any series, any episode, and it's fine.
I saw the one with the ladies who grow old and they can always stay in contact and be alive.
Yes, yes, so yes. Nice. That one, like, won, like, a lot of accolade-y kind of... I don't know. We won some kind of award. Some kind of battery kind of award, you know what I mean? I would recommend from the new series, Hang the DJ and SS Callister.
Okay. Gonna watch them.
It's very, very good. Yes, and obviously, I mean, like, of course I'm obsessed with The Greatest Showman, so if you're gonna go to the cinema, maybe go see that. What else have I been loving? End of the Fucking World on Netflix. Brilliant. I was like recommending it. My parents tried it and they were like, we're not sure. And I was like, just push past episode 2. Trust me, it's going to kick off. And then now they're like, we love it.
Oh, brilliant.
So really short episodic. I think they've just raised the bar for British production. End of the Fucking World on Netflix.
I just watched What the Health.
Ooh.
Which is an old
one. Are you now a vegan?
Ugh, I mean, I'm trying, but it's really hard.
It's quite hard to transition. I became a veggie. Ooh, 7 months ago now.
That's good.
My boyfriend 2 months ago now, so we're like trying to explore veggie stuff together. Feel good.
Feel good. The vegan thing does feel good, I have to say.
Feels good.
It's only been 3 days.
So 3 days in! Go strong! Woo, roast those vegetables, girl. Yes, oh my gosh, we're coming into the end of the show! Okay, we'll have to, like, I've got so much research about what's coming out. Okay, quickly, Toy Story 4. It's on the cards. And Thor Ragnarok writer is on board to write Toy Story 4. Who knew? That could work, right? Maybe they'll do Toy Story in space.
Yes.
Buzz Lightyear goes home. There's an idea, Disney.
Buzz Lightyear.
Put me on the production team. No, maybe not. Okay. Disney's also making Oliver the Musical as a rewrite. If you ever fancy being Nancy, you've never seen Oliver, have you? I'm getting a blank stare there. You need to do your homework, girl.
Seen the musical. The real musical.
Oh, you've seen... Okay, perfect. Amazing. Right, we will see you guys next week on Back Row and Chill, 4 p.m. every Friday, FUBAR Radio. Make sure you're following the Twitter at FUBAR Radio and the Facebook page so you can get down with what's going on. Amazing. So I am going to end, you know, the show with The Greatest Showman because, you know what? this is called Never Enough. We'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye!
I'm trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way, can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting louder now, can you hear it echoing? My hand, will you share this with me? 'Cause darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night.